Blog Talk Radio.
Over alligators, no lie, game of pitfall, swing over the fallacy haters. Living the obstacles, it's mission impossible. Third in the series, absorb the words if you hear me. Might be repetitive, might need a sedative, but no sleeper. It costs cause L's lost. Go deeper than boss before she fell off. Please, medication for sleep deprivation.
Good evening, guys. Scott Perks here on this very late podcast, hence the song Insomnia. I never sleep, indeed, indeed. At any rate, in case you don't already know, I am the creator of the sports blog, The Clown Times. That's Clown spelled with a K. You'll be able to find us on the web at www.theclowntimes.net. And you can also, excuse me, find me on Facebook. Just do a search for The Clown Times. Again, that's Clown with a K. You'll be able to find me. I've had at least a recent run lately of doing podcasts on NFL teams that do not have many fans. Like, I think 2 weeks ago we talked Jaguars football, and that happened to be one of my better podcasts because it was very entertaining. So I found a lot of things from one Eddie Masonette the third about the Jaguars that were pretty interesting things that I almost forgot about the Jaguars. Like, once upon a time they were very competitive team and all that good stuff. Well, tonight, we're going to be talking Panthers, Carolina football. We're supposed to be talking with Kevin Whedon about that out of San Diego, California. You know, he grew up in Wilmington, North Carolina. He became a Panthers fan the minute that the NFL awarded the Carolina's football team back in 1995, which is funny. The funniest thing about Kevin is that he grew up a Bears fan. While he still loves his Bears, he's Panther blue and black all day, every day. So at any rate, once he joins the podcast, we can actually talk more about that with him. But I'm going to just get started with what I think is going to happen with him. First, I'm going to touch on what happened with him last year. You know, they finished 7-9 last year. They were done in by another slow start. I think they started off the season 2-6. As a matter of fact, with some heartbreaking losses. The one in particular to Atlanta, at Atlanta, where all Cam Newton had to do was hold onto the ball once he got the first down. The game would have been over, but he fumbles the ball. You know, the Panthers recovered, but they had to punt the ball back to the Falcons late. And where you know it, a few plays later, Atlanta's down the field. They can win a field goal to actually steal one. But at any rate, without further ado, Kevin Weir just joined the line. So, Kevin, welcome to the Clown Hour.
Well, thank you.
Yes, sir. No, thank you, Mac. that's a little there's a little inside stuff with that. You know, not many people know that he's one of the most underrated Mac days of all time. But I guess, you know, when you get older, you know, your legacy stems to, you know, go with you. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Before we get really started in this, man, first of all, tell the folks where you're originally from, where you grew up, and how long you've been a Panthers fan.
All right. Well, I grew up in North Carolina. I was born in Mississippi, but I actually have lived most of my life in North Carolina. And growing up, I actually was a Bears fan. And then I lived overseas for a year. And right about the time that I moved overseas is when the Panthers had their first full season. And
right.
So when I came back to the States and you know, the fall after I came back to the States is when I really started following the Panthers. And, yeah, growing up as a Bears fan, you know, it's kind of hard to change teams. I've never really lost, you know, love for the Bears. But, you know, growing up in North Carolina, the Panthers were, you know, my home team. Everybody else around me seemed to, you know, have been either a fan of Washington or a fan of Dallas or New York.
Right.
But, you know, there weren't a lot of people who were fans of you know, other teams until the Panthers came along and it's like, hey, you know, somebody's got to be a fan. They're here in North Carolina. They're, you know, our team. And they take ownership.
Right.
So I've followed the Panthers since the 96-97 season.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, man. I remember the day, and we were in college together in Texas, but I remember the day where I heard that the NFL was going to award an NFL franchise to the Carolinas. And like you, I grew up in Winston-Salem. And so, you know, me being a fan of another team, the Steelers, I didn't know what to think. But as soon as he made the announcement, he being Paul Tagliabue, former commissioner at the time, and better man than Roger Goodell, but we won't go there. As soon as he made that announcement, I remember Will Hillenburn and I were sitting in one of the female dorms just looking at the television screen. And I swear to God, we both jumped so high up in the air when we found out that the freaking Carolinas of all places won the award of an NFL team. That had to be one of the momentous moments, if that makes any sense, in my sporting life. I mean, you know, I never in my wildest dreams thought that the Carolinas would land an NFL team. That meant something at the time. And I'll say this. The first few years of their existence, the first year of their existence, they're more or less a curiosity to me. You know, because, you know, they played the opening season at Clemson, I should say. And it was a logistics nightmare in terms of getting into the stadium, getting out of the stadium, because if for those who are familiar with going to, you know, college football stadiums, whether it's like a bucket list tour or whatever, there's only one freaking road that leads to Death Valley. There's only one road that leads to Clemson. And that road would be backed up for days, it seemed like, up and down 85. And that side street, wherever the hell the exit is, that takes you straight to campus. And, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, fuck this. Wow, because, I mean, it's just like, you know, they were a typical expansion team. They finished on the 500, but they were 7-9, which is one of the more successful of expansion franchises in NFL history, as a matter of fact. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, the folks were so waiting for the stadium in Charlotte to be built. You know, at the time it was called Ericsson Stadium. And, you know, I think the second year when they made that long playoff run before losing to Green Bay, I think that's when people started jumping on the bandwagon. You know, because they realized that, hey, we have something here. Even though the success was, you know, short-lived for a while, but still, I think that's when the Panthers started gaining more traction in the Carolinas. And, in some cases, more regional. Some fans in Virginia, some fans in northern Georgia. You know, it's just really something to see how they've really caught on to that particular part of the country and how it's starting to take a stronghold of what was once considered Redskins country, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So basically, you know, now, I mean, I guess we, you know, fast forward, like, I don't know, what, 15 years now, it seems like. I can't believe that was over 15 years ago, by the way. Actually, it's probably 18 years now. Because 95 was 18 years ago. We're old, man. 18 years ago, he came in. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But, you know, the thing is now, you know, they had ups, you know, ups and downs, and you know, it seems like that, you know, I guess the Panthers are one of those franchises that it's like every other year they're either a playoffs team or a competitive team, but I don't know. Does it seem like to you that they're trying to become more consistent in terms of, you know, I mean, they have great ownership, you know, Jerry Richardson is the man, you know. As owners go, but do you think it's more or less a culture, like they accept that mediocrity is accepted? I mean, it's one of those unspoken things, or can you put your finger on it? Like what keeps Carolina in your mind from being consistent winners?
Well, I think that one of the things that I like to see is consistency in terms of offense. And I know that when Jimmy Clausen was in charge, you know, the offense, and or not in charge of offense, you know, but when he was quarterbacking, he had a couple of coordinators, and so now with Cam Newton in there, hopefully there'll be some consistency in terms of the offense. I mean, already he's had on his second coordinator with, and I totally blank on the guy's name who left to become the Browns coach.
Trubisky.
Yes.
Trubisky.
You know, Trubisky going to Cleveland, so now he's on his second offensive coordinator. But hopefully, some of the things that were put in place from last time, you know, from last season, can be tweaked and finessed for this season.
Right.
But I don't think that they have a culture of mediocrity. I think that's probably reserved for teams like Cleveland.
Yeah.
And call out Cleveland like.
Well,
that's just
a culture of suckiness, not just mediocrity as far as Cleveland goes. I mean, they play like the jersey color, shitty. But go ahead.
But yeah, I think that I think they definitely want to win. I think that they need more consistency on offense.
Yeah.
I think the defense is getting better.
I think
the coaching has been rather conservative at times, and that is often to a detriment. Sometimes you need to open things up a little bit, take some chances. You know, you look great if you do. You know, you look bad if you don't. But if you're too conservative sometimes, I think that's part of their problem. They're a little too conservative at times. Sometimes I think they need to, you know, they haven't had you know, flamboyant coaches. You know, people who are really outspoken and guys who are considered to be leaders. You know, in terms of, or innovators. In terms of offense and defense, you know, we've had defensive coaches, but I wouldn't necessarily say that they are necessarily innovators. I think we had somebody who was kind of a brash personality type, you know, somebody come in and shake things up and, you know, do things different and change the culture. I think the Panthers would be off. So.
Well, you say brash coach. Do you say a brass coach? Do you think like someone like a Bill Cowher could actually, or a similar type could actually do some things with the Panthers?
Yeah,
like, you know, with his bombasticness.
Yeah, I'd say somebody like Bill Cowher. Are you somebody like Chip Kelly or Shiano in Tampa? Sometimes you know, the folks aren't necessarily. All that well liked sometimes bring something different to the table than what's been there before. But the Panthers, I just feel like they're you know, John Fox is super conservative. He still is.
Peyton Manning found that out last year.
Yeah. And you know, you have to kind of step out of the box a little bit sometimes. I hope that Rivera seems to be in that same mold to me. There was that Falcons game when they tried to go for it, I think, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a great play that was designed. And instead of, you know, I think it was like you know, 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1, but it was like a short one. And all you had to do was get that first down, and the game would have been over because they could have run out the clock. Because I don't think the Falcons had any timeouts left. And instead, they decided to punt.
They pinned
them on the 1. And because of that, you know, Swiss cheese defense that we had, a 59-yard, you know, reception for Roddy White, which, you know, basically put them a couple of plays from being in field goal range, and they ended up winning the game.
Right. Yeah, I mean that's what I mentioned. But right before you came on, like by my little two cents, you know, it was that game. It was that game when the Panthers had a chance to actually get it done on the road in a place they did not win too often, in Atlanta. And I remember the play like it was yesterday, the one that was before that fourth and one. It was fourth down because Cam Newton had the first down, but he fumbled.
Right.
He had the first down, but he fumbled. The ball went back a yard. They recovered. They, being the Panthers, recovered. But they were only a yard shy. Now, if Cam Newton had held onto the ball, and God bless him, he's trying to do too much, but when he, if he held onto the ball, the game would have been over. I mean, it's just that type of bad luck that really kicked their asses last year, you know?
Yeah.
And then that way, Rivera wouldn't have had to go turtle, you know, go into his turtle shell and punt the ball on fourth and one when the Falcons had no timeouts. But, you know, that's not the end of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned the coaching. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Sorry, Kevin.
So that's the cult, that culture that, you know, that is kind of like almost a John Fox hangover. Yeah. That drives. I mean, I like John Fox as a coach, but there are times when you know, just too conservative. You need sometimes to just put faith in the offense to get things done. And he's a defensive coach. I understand that. But sometimes you have to, you know, relinquish some of your or whatever you're feeling and you know, go for it every time. So,
you know, I look at the Panthers' coaching history. I think all of their coaches have been defensive coordinators or defensive amount of coaches, from Dom Capers to the maiden years to the disastrous year of George Seifert to John Fox to now Ron Rivera. They've all been defensive coaches. They need to get someone in there to shake it up. Like, I heard that John Fox was so low key that he'd have players give like speeches before games. He wouldn't give the speeches. He'd pick a player each week to give a speech. Even though he was the Panthers' most successful coach, wins and losses wise, and like success, you know, and as far as in track record, he was pretty much a 500 coach.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, I think the Panthers, what they need to do, if Ron, just in case, I'm not wishing any bad will of Ron Rivera, but in case that if the Panthers go up to another slow start, they need to shake it up. And I don't think Ron Rivera lasts the season if he gets off to another slow start, because the talent is there and they just need to get it done. What do you think? Do you think he'll last the season if they get off to another slow start?
I think he can last if they make the playoffs. I think that you know, they do well in the division and make the playoffs. I'm looking at the schedule, I really think they could go 11-5. That might be wishful thinking on my part, but I mean, I look at them. You know, I see the Seattle game maybe being a tough game. They should have beat Seattle last year when they played.
Yeah,
but couldn't get anything going, and that was probably hangover after that Giants game that they just got destroyed in.
They got that. Yeah, we got violated on national television. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I don't see them winning, beating the Giants this year either. But I think they can go at least. I think they can go 4-2 in the division. I see maybe a loss at Tampa, and maybe a loss at Atlanta. But even those games are well. And I think I definitely think they can beat all the division rivals at home. And I think they can.
Right.
I think they can. You know, the Saints are going to look pretty good this year. I think the Saints are beatable. I think the Panthers have a good group that could beat the Saints. I don't really see that many of the losses, other than they play the Niners. I think they probably won't win that one. That'll be a tough game for them.
Yeah.
I think they could beat the Patriots. Patriots aren't what they were because they have their injuries and free agents that are gone, and people, you know, that traded or whatnot. So, I think 11-5 is realistic, you know, realistically possible.
Yeah.
I think that I think if they have another 7-9 season or 8-8 season, or you know, if they have like a 9-7 season and don't make the playoffs, I think that I think they will. They will, you know, get another coach because this isn't his hire. That was Marty Herney's hire, right?
Right, that was Marty Herney's hire. That was his last hire, actually.
Yeah.
He got canned. Yeah,
exactly. So, yeah, this isn't. Was it Gettleman? Is that his name?
You're probably right. I forget his name.
Dave Gettleman's. This is the, you know, so he would have an opportunity to get a head coach in there of his choosing, and maybe he would be the one to try to, you know, get things going. Although he didn't start out very well when he was asked about Cam Newton being the future.
He kind of flubbed that one up. I mean, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that dude's got an arm like a cannon. And he can run like crazy, you know. And you design an offense around him and get, you know, players around him. You know, I don't think there's anything that can stop him.
Right. I'll say this, Cam Newton. I mean, it's a mixed bag because, you know, there's the body language from losing. He's not used to losing, but you know, it's one of those things. Welcome to the big leagues, kid. You know, the part of the price of being a first round draft pick is like the team picked you first. It's picking you first for a reason. They sucked. So he has to work his way from bottom. Sometimes a lot of times that could be a humbling experience for a young player. But I look at his stats, dude. He led the league he led his team in rushing.
Yeah.
8 touchdowns, averaged 5.8 a pop, had close to 750 yards on the ground. That's your quarterback. That's your quarterback.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got to have – my point in saying that is, while that's – and he also threw for almost 4,000 yards too. But the point is, in saying that, is that the running game has to really help him out. D'Angelo Williams has to step up. Jonathan Stewart has to get healthy. I mean, you don't want – I mean, that's the rush. The running game is supposed to be their strength.
Yeah.
But it can't be only – it can only be so strong when your quarterback's leading the team in rushing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's not – I mean, Cam Newton can run, but being a run-first quarterback is not his game.
Yeah.
I mean, he prefers to be a pocket passer. He's a strong kid, and, you know, and he has a good arm. But he needs a running game and more focus to be placed in the running game. And that's why I think they went away from last year. You know, it's kind of like Trubisky started getting cute with Newton because he saw what he could do the first, his rookie season. And he figured, hey, we could do run more of the spread action and put the ball more in Cam's hands and, you know, fuck the running game almost. And, you know, I thought that led to playing in part to the slow start. I mean, there's no reason why they lost twice to Tampa Bay last year.
Exactly.
There's no reason why they should have been swept by, they should be swept by Tampa Bay. No reason.
Mm-hmm.
They're better than Tampa on paper. I mean, they have no reason why. There's no reason why they should be swept by. I mean, the same team, Panthers team, that swept the Saints. Should not be swept by the Buccaneers. I mean, that just boggles my mind. And
exactly.
That inconsistency is maddening. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
I would say they were better than the Bucs on the field. It's just, you know, not taking advantage of opportunities to close things out, you know. That just, you know, yeah, it just drove me crazy. But I think they'll do better this year. I have hopes. I have high hopes, at least, that they'll do better this season.
You got high hopes, right? Yeah, high hopes. But I'll say this, man. I'm looking at your schedule, too, dude. There's so much of a wild card, okay? It's like you don't know what you're going to get. You know, because the the past two seasons, the Panthers started slow but finished strong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was duped last year. I picked them to be a wild card team behind Atlanta. And when the first game against Tampa, their effort, their lack thereof against Tampa, I was like, oh, shit, it's going to be a long season in Charlotte. Because the way they lost to Tampa, they seemed so lackluster. The effort wasn't there, and that's the coaching. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's the straight coaching. You can't come off flat. I mean, albeit against a big rival, division rival on the road to open the season, but still, the Panthers were better than that. They were better than scoring less than 14 points against the Buccaneers the opening game. I mean, there's no reason why. Josh Freeman outplayed Cam Newton. There's no reason why that should have happened. I'm sorry. And, you know, now, I mean, that's why I think, and this is unfair to Newton, but in a lot of fans' eyes, it's now or never for this kid. He's only in his third year, mind you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going on a second coordinator. But it's just the perception, you know, because you see Russell Wilson, RG3, winning, Andrew Luck winning, you know, quarterbacks from Newton's draft, Christian Brown of all people led his team to the playoffs last year, albeit they kind of backed in because of the Bears, with bad luck with injuries and whatnot that caused them to kind of skid in towards the end, even though, you know, I never understand why a coach who won 10 games gets fired, but that's not here nor there. It's not a Bears podcast. I won't get into that. But the thing is that even though that happened, Christian Ponder still has 10 and plus, and he beat Cam Newton a head to head that year. And that's another game that the Panthers are no business using a home game to a less talented Vikings team. So do you think that he needs to minimize his mistakes, Newton? Do you think that the running game has to help, or that you just have to be smarter? Like what in your mind do you think he needs to do? Because he didn't look that great against Baltimore the other night either.
Yeah. What drove me crazy last season is that there were times where it seemed like he was holding on to the ball too long. Like he was waiting and waiting and waiting for something to develop. And sometimes the play was there, the player might have been open was going to get open by the time the ball came his way. And it seemed like he took too long to throw the ball. Then other times, it's like he was forcing the issue.
Right.
Even, you know, there was coverage, you know, he's forcing the issue and throwing obvious, you know, interceptions or, you know, in throwing a situation where the ball is going to be tipped and I have a complete pass. And, you know, the situation where he probably should have just run, at least get the ball, either throw the ball away or run it out of bounds or something. But I'm hoping that he'll be quicker in terms of just decision-making but at the same time won't try to force things to happen. I definitely think that his receiving core is good. They aren't great. I mean, granted, he's not throwing to Michael Irvin and Alvin Harper. We know that. You know, he's not throwing to guys of that caliber. But other than Steve Smith, because of the fact of who he is, even though he's getting up in age, he's still effective. And because of that, he's going to draw coverage like crazy. So, that means it's up to the other guys to get open and make plays. And I like to see more of a Cam Newton to Greg Olsen connection, because there were times during the season where he just wasn't throwing to Greg Olsen. And Greg Olsen's a great tight end. I mean, he could be all pro. You know, he's great for the Bears. So I like to see more. I like to see more. Connection between him and Greg Olsen. But I have faith in him. I believe in his talent, and you know, with good coaching and with better decision making, I think he could definitely get that team to the playoffs.
Right. Well, I'll say this too. I thought that one of the reasons why I thought Marty Herney needed to be fired. I thought that the Panthers made a big mistake in not bringing back Jeremy Shockey. I thought that that two-headed tight end attack was really effective for him for Cam Newton his rookie season, and I thought that if they had Jeremy Shockey to take the at least give Newton another weapon. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It seems like the two tight ends is the NFL fad right now, offensive fad right now. It's a read option that I thought that it would have made life easier for Steve Smith. I thought it would open up the running game a little more, and I thought they would have been a lot better offensively. So I pinned that on the Carolina on the Panthers front office on that one. But at any rate, I don't want to cry over spilled milk, but it is what it is. So I guess what we agree on, and actually we haven't gotten to the defense yet, I think if the Panthers find balance with the running game, use D'Angelo Williams more, hopefully Jonathan Stewart comes back healthier. They need to utilize those guys because they're paying both those guys big money. And, you can't have them as decoys if you're paying them that much money, especially two talented backs like that. You have to use them. You have to. To at least help Newton in the passing game, to become more balanced. So, at any rate, well, I'll say this though: the bright side is the defense. I mean, I knew the defense was talented last year. I mean, they were top 15, and that first Falcons game when I think it was Edwards, their defensive end, had like what three or four sacks that game.
Mm-hmm.
And just making. Just made the Atlanta offensive line just look like Swiss cheese. I mean, getting after Matt Ryan, got after Matt Ryan, and I felt bad from the standpoint that was a wasted defensive effort. It's just too bad that the coaching staff decided to put a prevent defense on the Falcons on that last drive that caused Ryan to have all the time in the world to find Roddy Wilder a 59-yard pass to put him in field goal range. But after watching last night, and I know it's preseason, dude, but in the second and third preseason games, I look to see how the first teamers do because they tend to play deeper into the game in the second and third preseason games. And yeah. I love what I saw. I don't know about you. I love what I saw. I love that middle linebacker. Was it Lukley or whatever his name is?
Keekly.
Yeah, that kid from Boston College. He was all over the place, dude. It's like the second coming of Dan, what's his name, from Miami, who retired for those concussions. Dan, what's his last name? What's Dan's last name?
Eric Winlock used to call him Danielle.
Yeah, I know, because he had those concussions, couldn't play.
Morgan.
So
Dan Morgan.
Yeah, Eric, the friend Eric Mark, the ultimate Panthers fan, call him Danielle because he's never stay on the field. It's concussions, dude. That's sure what happened to a guy when you have enough concussions. But I think that this kid is a younger version and a better version of Dan Morgan. All over the field, you could tell he's a smart kid because he read Joe Flacco like a book on pass patterns. He knew where the ball was going. And, aside from that bullshit, what's that call that wiped out an interception, right before he picked off the pass, like the next play? It was like unnecessary roughness where, basically the NFL turned to like Power Puff. He hit him in the shoulder, his level of his shoulder instead of his head, but that's logical deal for you. But, but I just loved his energy. He forced that fumble that caused the fumble return for a touchdown. I'm telling you, man, and especially like the player that the draft picks this year, the first two picks, that kid from Utah and Purdue, those two defensive tackles. That's I love this defense this year. I love those that young talent. I love those first two draft picks, how they've performed. And to go with Edwards as a defensive end, and you know that linebacker core now that John Beeson's back. You gotta love this defensive group, man. You have to love it.
Yeah. Me too.
You know, I love the way they got after Flacco, and they didn't have a bad game against the Eagles, and it just, you know, turnovers are bad luck. But I think the defense is going to be the clear strength of this team. It's just a matter of, you know, I mean, they have a lot of young players, especially in the defensive backfield, but. No, you just have to love where they're going, and I love their tenacity and their aggressiveness. I think while Rivera's going to pull the reins on the offense, I think he's going to let the defense become a bit more aggressive. What do you think about that?
I can see that. I say aggressive, although I don't know that the secondary is strong enough to be more aggressive. I think the front line to be the pass rushers can definitely be much more aggressive.
Right.
I think you'll turn them a little bit loose. The secondary, though, that concerns me. But, if the pass rushers are disruptive enough, you know, it'll help out the secondary.
Right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Force bad passes and make them think a little more about, you know, where they're throwing. It helped, you know, start from the pass rush, it helped the secondary a lot.
Yeah. Well, the problem is with the, you know, I like the Panthers' young talent on defense. I think Cam Newton's going to be a stud on offense. It's just a matter of build around them, you know, they get an offensive line in front of them to help the running game. Perhaps more aggressive culture on the offensive end, too. The only problem with the Panthers is they're playing in what I believe is the toughest division in football. I think Atlanta's going to be Atlanta. They're going to be there in the end. They got too much talent offensively to be denied. I think the Saints will come back with a huge vengeance. You know, New England Patriots style after the Spygate scandal. I think that Sean Payton's going to show the NFL a little something about how pissed off he was, being suspended for the whole year on a bunch of bullshit that wasn't even substantiated. It was no proof. And you got to like what I know you don't like the Buccaneers. I'm no fan of them either, especially the coach.
Yep.
But I do like what Tampa Bay is doing. I do like the fact that they brought in Revis to a non-guaranteed four-year contract. I like the acquisitions at wide receiver that they made the last two seasons. I like their running back a lot. That short kid from, I think, he's from Boise State. I forget where that Martin kid is from. Let me see real quick.
Yeah.
But at any rate, I think that Josh Freeman's going to have to improve, or else he's going to be out of a job next season. Doug Martin, Doug Martin is his name. He ran for 1,400 yards last year. So I like what Tampa's doing. So what I'm trying to say is, while the Panthers are very talented, especially defensively, and somewhat offensively for the most part, I think that it's going to be a tough sledding because the division is that tough. And while they have the talent to win, and I'll have a problem with you saying they can win 11 games. I'm just saying in a division like this, like the NFC South, I think if they win 9 to 10 games, they'd be in the Panthers. But 9 to 10 games, you just have to be happy with that because I think the division is that tough.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's definitely tough, you know. But they had the Falcons beat last year and in Atlanta. There's no excuse for losing that game. They whooped in Charlotte. They swept the Saints last season. Although they had to score, I think, 30-some points per game. I think they scored 40 points in the last game. And win those games, and they gave up a bunch of points. But that's the nature of the Saints. The Saints are terrible on defense as well. And then there was no excuse for losing those Tampa games. They had the first game won, and I can't remember the details of the second game, but they shouldn't have lost that game either. So I mean, last year they could have swept the division last year. They were good enough to do it. They just that Falcons game and that Tampa game just that hurts.
Yeah, it took the win out of your sails. It took the win. Like I said, I picked them to win the division, not to win the division, but I picked them to be the wild card team out of their division. And that took the win out of my sails because, it's like you lose in Tampa. The way they lost to Tampa, I'm like, are you serious? Are you trying to get your coach fired? That is the coach trying to get himself fired? I mean, 16-10, the Buccaneers, and then to lose to them at home again in overtime, to drop to 2-8, that was a killer. That was a killer, dude. I mean, it was just a baffling team last year, and to lose on the road to the Bears, your Bears too. I mean, you also like the Bears by 1 point.
Yes.
Too many heartbreaking losses. The Cowboys hurt because y'all just stunk, and the Cowboys only won by 5 points. And because a lot of people picked the Panthers to win that game because Dallas was on a bit of a losing streak that they're going to that game. And the Seahawks before the bye week, losing the way they lost to the Seahawks. I mean, it was just a lot of opportunities lost.
Yep.
The first three games of the season, lots of opportunities just went away. Oh, and one more thing, man. Why'd y'all lose to the Kansas City Chiefs?
Again, that's
why did y'all lose to the Kansas City Chiefs?
Wasn't that the game that Kansas that was right after that guy the player committed suicide after he killed his girlfriend?
I guess they played some type of
I think part of it was they were a little inspired, but there was no excuse for them losing that game either. That's one of those things that just I don't know.
Yeah,
it was a full or something. I don't know
what the hell it was. Y'all had no business. That was a sorry ass Chiefs team last year. At least the Chiefs are competitive this year. Will be competitive, but the Chiefs are sorry as hell last year, dude. they won like three games last year, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Yeah. But at any rate, we're not. Yeah, we won't focus on that. I'm just saying, dude. Just looking back at your schedule last year, it's like. It's so many games that you just let slip away. I mean, it's just terrible. Or as Charles Locke would say, terrible. It's just terrible, man. Terrible. I know that's a messed up personation, but at any rate, looking at your schedule this year, let's just get back to this season. You already said 11 games. I think on my blog, I originally said 8-8 because I didn't know if they were going to do their start slow and fast act again, but also the fact that take into consideration the fact they're in a tough division. I'm scared of Tampa Bay for you guys because that's a matchup that, I mean, Tampa has your number. And, while you got the Saints number, Falcons, you play the Falcons tough. The Falcons are going to be great. New Orleans is going to be a lot better. Tampa's going to be better. You play in San Fran. You'll be at San Fran, which means you'll be playing the NFC West. So that's a break. It's not too big much of a break because I think outside of San Fran and Seattle, I think St. Louis is an up and coming team. You don't want to slip with those boys this year with the well coached by Jeff Fisher, and I think Arizona may surprise people. Even though I don't think they'll be a playoff team, I don't think they're going to completely suck either. So
I'm not feeling
the old. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, dude.
I'm not feeling Arizona. I think that I don't know. I just never. I've never been a big fan of Carson Palmer. He's tall. He can throw a ball, but he can't seem to put the ball in the hands of receivers.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the jury's out on them. We'll see.
Right.
He might have a connection with Fitzgerald and other receivers, and it could just be magic. It could just be, you know, the fact that he's playing sorry Oakland, you know. But
yeah.
Wasn't getting it done in Cincinnati, and he definitely wasn't getting it done in Oakland.
Right.
So,
right. That was an unmitigated disaster in Oakland. But then again, Oakland is just a disaster anyway, so. Rest in peace, Al Davis. But the break comes when you guys play AFC East outside New England. I mean, you know, that division is so bad that New England can moonwalk their way to the division title. So at least you got that going for you. So I think I said 8-8 because, like I said, the division's tough, just that tough. It wouldn't surprise me if they win a couple more games, especially if the defense is good as I think they'll be this season. I think 10 wins would be the actual maximum expectations of this team. I think they should be a lot better on paper, like record-wise than they were last year. They got the talent to be a lot better. I just am a little bit, as a Panthers fan, we're a little bit concerned with what Tampa's doing down there. Tampa's getting better underneath the radar, on paper anyway. And, you know, if their defense continues to improve, you know, and Darrell Revis can fix that worst-ranked pass defense of Tampa's, then look the hell out. It's just a matter of just coming down to Josh Freeman, what he does. So just because of that, I don't see Tampa being much of a factor because of Josh Freeman. But I think they'd be tough enough to be a factor, that makes any sense, to be like a spoiler. So basically I have all the teams in the NFC South at least 500, basically.
Yeah.
With Tampa and Carolina being 8-8. And New Orleans and Atlanta being the 10 plus win teams.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. You know, the NFC South is tough, man. So it's just as long as your boys knock up to another slow ass start, I think that'll be the tell of the season. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at the first three games before the bye week. You guys have an early bye week in week 4. If you guys come out of that 3-game stretch at least 2-1, I think you'd be fine. I honestly think you'd be fine.
Yeah.
You can't have another slow start, is what I'm trying to get. You can't have another slow start. You just can't do it because people just start thinking, here we go again, and what are we going to do now, coach? And, I mean, the game is so mental, it could easily spiral for them, despite the talent that they have on both sides of the ball. So we're very – I don't know what Rivera needs to do, what type of juju he needs to work on, but he needs to get going. He can't let the team sleepwalk the first half of the season like he's been doing the past 2 seasons. He's not going to cut it this year. I think he's on borrowed time. And if he doesn't get it done this year, he won't be around next year to see it through. So that's just my take on it. Do you have any other musings, words of wisdom for the Panthers and hopeful Panthers fans out there that you want to spread, or just want to just get it going?
I'll just say, you know, I think that, you know, you need people to come out to the games. I wish I, you know, could go to more games. I did go to the Chargers-Panthers game last season.
Okay.
Which was kind of fun. Of course, it wasn't fun for the Chargers fans because the Chargers got blown out by the Panthers, but it was – it was great for us as Panthers fans. We had quite a contingent there that were there for the game. So that was awesome to see lots of folks wearing teal and black and
right.
and uh, so
you know, get folks out to the games, even though the NFL is trying to kill all the fun by killing celebrations
right.
and restricting what you can bring into the stadium, making it, you know, a lot more fun to watch it at home rather than actually going to the stadium and watching it.
Yeah.
Which is a question for another day. But, you know, get folks to come out and believe in Cam. Hopefully Cam will play a lot better this season, and the offense in general will play better, and the defense, you know, can step up because they gave up too many big yards last season. They did okay
right.
sometimes on run defense, but, you know, they gave up, you know, chunks and chunks of passing yardage last season. So hopefully they'll take care of business
right.
on that end. And
Do you think that do you think the fans want to come back to see Panthers games? Do you think the fans are fed up from the inconsistencies? I mean, there's a beautiful stadium, you know, downtown.
Yep.
Why do you think the fans have like kind of soured on the team in recent years?
I don't know the necessarily sound, but I guess a little bit because you know you have diehard football fans who live in Charlotte and the surrounding area who will go to games regardless. Then you have the band, you know, the or not bandwagon, the fair weather for, you know, fans, you know,
right.
in there, and you know 11-5 or 12-4, you know they're there and wearing their gear and talking all kinds of stuff, you know, and then when they're
right.
you know 8-8, 7-9, 6-10. But they can't, you know, they can't be found. So, you know,
like Heat fans, I'm Miami Heat fans. I won't pick on them anymore. So go ahead.
I'm trying to run back into the stadium.
Right. Sorry, I understand. But go ahead. Sorry about that. I had to get that off my chest.
Yeah, but I think that. You're going to have, you know, a bit of fair weather fans and whatnot. But, you know, if we can get more of those folks to, you know, to be, you know, 100% supporters and, you know, also
right.
make sure their voice is heard to you know, ownership and management, you know, that, you know, we've been doing the same thing over and over again, hiring these defensive-minded head coaches at some point. You know, we want to change the strategy, make, you know, put a better product out there.
Right.
And, you know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I think with the draft picks they had this season, I didn't follow the draft that closely this season, but, I was aware of two first-round guys they got that were defensive tackles. And you know, the head-scratcher for me was the running back they drafted. They did draft him in the sixth round, so it doesn't really affect the cap that much. But, you know, they probably could have got another receiver, a good receiver. They probably could have got, you know, some secondary help. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I think the future is looking bright.
Right.
We'll see what the future has in store for the team. I'm hopeful.
Yeah. And it's good to be hopeful. It's good to be hopeful. I think, like I said, I think you guys got to get the foundation there. You guys got – I mean, I loved, like I said, I loved your first two picks, those two defensive tackles. And they played well in the preseason so far, and I think that's your foundation right there. That's definitely your foundation. So I think you guys – I mean, you guys won't suck. I mean, you guys got you're a very talented team. It's just that you're just in a tough division. So,
yeah.
But this is what happens. All right, my man. It's been too long, and I appreciate it. Hopefully, we'll have you back later in the season to talk more Panthers or more NFL musings. So, thanks a lot, my man. And tell my Scott son to say hello.
Will do.
All right, peace out, man.
Right. Take care.
All right, peace. That was my man, Kevin Whedon. Talking Panthers, Carolina Panthers, you know, I like that this podcast a lot. You know, it's just that I think the Panthers that won those wild card teams, by wild card, I mean, you know, you don't know exactly what you're going to get. And, You know, it's. I mean, they could either go to Kevin's point, 11-5, 10-6, or they could be 8-8 or 7-9 again. So we'll see. But either way, Ron Rivera, and to a certain extent, Cam Newton has to get it done, or else it's going to be changes in the offseason. But anyway, in the meantime, thank you all for tuning in to this late podcast. I'm Scott Burks. This was the Clan Hour. Until next time. 06. No. Take care.